You're tuned into the Awakening Zone Radio Network, your news and information source for empowered spiritual awakening.
Hello, I'm Chris Lisher, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel, an intelligent, lively discussion on astrology, art, and adventure. Timing is everything, and as the great wheel turns, we are best prepared when we are best informed. Join me as I explore the current planetary alignments and offer insights for coping with change. Educational, informative, enlightening, the turning of the wheel is a welcome pause in your daily swirl of constant change. Through intelligent discourse, inspired guests, and educational segments, I will help to enlighten your knowledge of astrology and guide you to accept change as the great wheel of life turns. Call in with your questions and speak with some of the greatest visionaries in the time-tested practice of astrology. Turning of the Wheel, Astrology, Art, and Adventure with Chris Lisher, live each Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Awakening Zone Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, do you know what an aspect is in astrology? Do you know what a transit is in astrology? How does Saturn aspect Jupiter? How does Jupiter aspect Mars? How does Mars aspect Pluto? Listen and learn. This is Turning of the Wheel with Chris Lisher. Each week, every Friday morning, 11 o'clock a.m., I'm here on the East Coast. Art, astrology, and spiritual adventure. Always cast a wide net. I got some great guests coming up. And my newsletter, which goes out this Sunday, has the full schedule for the coming month. I've got some fantastic people. Very, very interesting. I'm really pushing the envelope a little bit. But that's okay. It's all good. It's all about topics that are all, I see, interesting and intricately connected. Whether it has to do with personal expression, whether it has to do with the art, whether it has to do with astrology, whether it has to do with social justice or causes, gender equality or inequality is more like it, I should say, the good and the bad and the ugly, the haves and the have-nots, those are all topics that I'll touch on, and a thousand more, so hang in there and listen to me. If you want to know what's coming up, sign up for my newsletter. Every Sunday evening, it goes out at 5:30. You can bank on that, like you can bank on the sun rising, at least as long as I'm around the have a pulse and I'm on the planet, that'll be going out. And it comes out every Sunday evening. You can get to it from my Facebook page, Chris Lisher. I'm on Facebook. You can get to me from Twitter. You can get to me from YouTube. Or go to my website, www.chrisflisher.com or www.turningofthewheel.com. When you do get that newsletter, and I encourage you to sign up, I get great results from people, great feedback. Remember to always read your rising sign as well as your sun sign. If you don't know your rising sign, click back to my website. There's a rising sign calculator there. You enter your birth date, place, and time, and you'll know what your rising sign is. Fascinating, intricate information. If you have any help, need any help, contact me at chris@chrisflisher.com is my email address, and I'm always there to help you. I am coming up on my ending of my 8th year of being on the air, continuously on the air for 8 years. My anniversary is coming up on September the 13th, and that will be my the beginning of my 9th year on the air. All this time I've been doing this out here on different various networks, trying to keep the consistency going, trying to have continuity, trying to provide good content. And it is a labor of love. And if you enjoy what you get here, if you enjoy what you get in the newsletter, if you enjoy anything that I put out, even if you don't, let me know. But if you do enjoy it, how about throwing a dollar in the old tip jar to keep the great wheel turning, because this is all a labor of love, and all the cost and overhead and time I put into it, I could use a little... I could use a six-pack now and then. You know what I'm saying? Easy. Or a cup of coffee. You know, throw a dollar or two in there, keep the wheel turning. Whatever suits you, whatever feels right to you, whatever rings out in your heart, whatever that magical number is, be sure to help me out because it does keep me going. So today I'm going to be talking about aspects. And in the second half of the show, I hope to be able to open up the phone lines and take some callers, and maybe I'll enlighten your idea. I do have a lot of stuff coming up over the coming months. I'm going to be pushing out more of... my artwork is going to be starting a new, a new branch of who I am. I've always had the artwork out there. I've always done the astrology. I've always done the radio show. But the artwork has sort of taken a back seat lately. So I'm going to start to ramp that up, and I'm going to push out some artwork each week to people. If you're on my newsletter, I may start a whole newsletter, and it's going to be on my Facebook page. It's going to be the mandala of the week. Make me want to holla when I see the mandala. It's going to be great, and you're going to love it too. There's no question about it. So be apprised of that, and those of you who are interested in it's all about, you know, just stay in tune, stay in touch, man. It's all it takes. It's very simple to do all that. And I appreciate any and all support, any and all feedback I get from any and all of you. How's that? Huh? That's pretty inclusive, right? Okay, so let's get on to the topic of aspects. Now, you hear me talking about aspects quite a bit, and some people may not know what an aspect is. An aspect in astrology, and I'm going to defer to the great Robert Hand on this one because he has the best definition of anything. When we talk about astrology, astrology is a geometrical sort of divination tool that looks at the world as a gigantic circle, and in that circle, which is very much inclusive of 360 degrees, in that circle, we have a process whereby all planets, all aspects, everything line up in a certain precise order. And when that happens, when the precise order happens, we find events happening. This is based on years and years of information over the years. Now, when I talk about a transit is where a planet is in the world today. When you look at an astrology chart, when I cast an astrology chart for an individual, I cast it on the day of their birth. So on the day of their birth, we know the birth date, the birthplace, the birth time. We cast a chart. That chart at the birthday is a permanent imprint, a permanent fingerprint, a glimpse of your DNA. It is your operator's manual. You carry that with you the rest of your life. It's static, never changes. That's who you are, and I can tell you who you are in about 30 seconds by looking at that chart. Well, maybe 30 minutes. But anyway, I can get into the details of the individual very quickly, and that is what I would call your owner's manual. Your instructions, your marching orders are impregnated. Well, maybe that's not the right word. Your operating instructions are infused in that chart. They're in that chart, although impregnation is probably why you arrived at the time that you did. I think your mother and father had something to do with that. But anyway, in that chart, that is a static chart. Then when we take that static chart, and on the outside of that, we bring that chart into the world of today, August 15th, and then we look at where the planets are in circumference to that chart. And those planets are called the transiting planets, and that is a dynamic chart because that changes day by day by day, every day. Granted, the outer planets, like on a wheel of a bicycle, change very slowly. Those planets that are in close to the center of the hub, you know, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and so forth, the Moon, all move rather quickly. They all have specific time. The Moon, for example, moves every 2.5 days. It's in a different sign. The Sun, it takes 30 days, obviously. Mercury is 18 days to go through a sign. Venus is 25 days, and Mars is 40 days. The outer planets, which I consider to be Jupiter on out, so Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto all move at different rates. So they're sort of on the outside of the hub, but they still move. Jupiter takes 1 year to go through the whole through a sign. Right now it's in Leo, so the folks who are Leos are really clicking their heels and getting a lot of stuff done, but we all have a Leo slice of our pie, so to speak. Saturn takes roughly 2.5 to 3 years. Uranus takes about 7 years to get through a sign. Neptune is 14 years, and Pluto can range anywhere from 12 to 20 years to go through a sign, depending upon where it is. It's on an elliptic, so it's not in a perfect concentric circle. So those planets, when they are where they are in the world today, indicate where the action is in your chart. And that, when you, there's an interrelationship between, I always think of it as a conversation. So it's a conversation between the static chart, which is your natal chart, and the dynamic chart, which is the transiting chart of the day. That is what a transit is. So when we take the transiting planets, and I said the ones that are going to move fast are the Moon, Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, you'll be able to see impact on those over a couple of days. So if you've got Venus and Mars moving through your second house, you can be sure that it's time to be, you'll be focused on money, and perhaps you'll have some good luck as a result. The longer term, much longer to move, and so therefore they have a generational impact. Whole bodies of people will have, you know, for example, Neptune in Libra, for example, or Saturn in Scorpio. A whole generation of people, any babies that are born now are going to have Saturn in Scorpio because Saturn is in Scorpio today. So when you are born, you're sort of taking a snapshot of who you are at that time. So it's really critical to understand what that looks like. And when you do understand that, you can understand astrology, because as those transiting, the dynamic planets, move through your chart, they circle around the outside of your chart. As they circle around the outside of your chart, they form geometrical relationships to your own natal planets. And it is in that geometrical conversation that action begins to happen. And this is true for all people. It's true for the globe. It's true for everything. Right now, we are coming up on a time, for example, and there's two ways of looking at it. You can take the outer planets and just have them in aspect to each other, which is, aspect really is relationship. I'm going to just read a quick paragraph here from Robert Hahn's book. And Robert Hahn is the master of this. He's what I call the Moses of astrology. He has written a fantastic book called Planets in Transit, Life Cycles for a Living. And it's one of the best books you can get on astrology, especially if you understand it. I know very few astrologers who do not have the book, so it's really, really important. A transit occurs, here I'm quoting from his introduction, a transit occurs whenever a planet moving in its orbit during your lifetime forms an aspect to a planet, the sun, moon, or any of the house cusps in your natal horoscope. Also, whenever a planet passes through a part of the zodiac occupied by a house in your natal chart, we say that the planet is transiting the house. One more paragraph, so bear with me. The study of transits is one of the most fundamental techniques in astrology. That transits indicate important trends and issues in your life is one of the few points upon which all astrologers agree. Along with directions and progressions, they are basic to the astrologer's predictive methodology. Yet there is not a single detailed one-volume text that gives you an idea what to expect from each transit. And that book is here. It's important to understand these descriptions because they give you a theme. They give you a flavor of what is going to be happening in your life. And this is why astrology is incredibly accurate. This is the secret to astrology. Now, coming up over the coming years in the fall, I'm going to start doing webinars, which you can all dial into. They're going to be reasonably priced webinars where I will host a literal classroom. You can dial in for an hour or two. You'll be able to raise your hand and ask questions and all that stuff, just like being in a classroom. So it's going to be a virtual classroom that you're going to be able to dial in, and I'm going to go through all in greater detail. And I'll have handouts, I'll have slides, I'll have all kinds of stuff. If I could find a way to send a virtual candy bar through the web, I will do that, but they haven't figured out how to send digital things yet. But I guess you need a 3D printer to do that. But we'll probably see it in our lifetime, so bear with me. There will be, free candies at the door if you attend my workshops. But those are coming up in the future, so keep that in mind because those are something to look out for. And if you subscribe to my newsletter, you will have access to all that information. I'll tell you what's going to be going on there. So I'm really trying to expand what I do, and I'm going to make it more educational. I'm going to try to enlighten people who don't know. A lot of you may already know this stuff, and if that's the case, well, my hat is off to you. But many people who are interested in astrology find it to be too complex, and my goal is to sort of make it simple. That's why I always talk about the rising sign. I said, the rising sign, the rising sign, the rising sign. It's like a mantra to me. But when you know that piece of your chart and you know your sun sign, two small pieces of information to remember. It's not that hard. You have your social security number, you know your mother's phone number, you know your children's birthdays. This is just one more little data put into the old brain of yours, and I'm sure there's room for it, and that is your rising sign. Then, whenever you read astrology at any point in time, you read those two, and you'll know what's going on in your life on that day. Now, an aspect in astrology, as I said, is about a correlationship, a relationship between planets. The planets, in my view, do not exude any sort of magnetic superpower. It's more about the correlation between how they face each other in that construct of that circular world that I talked about, which is how we look out at the world because we are an entity of a gigantic sphere. Where are those planets and how do they impact each other geometrically? So, for example, if Jupiter is at 13 degrees Cancer, and Aries and Uranus is at 13 degrees Aries, they are in a 90-degree relationship. 90 degrees. That is what that looks like. It looks just like a square. Okay? By the same token, if Jupiter is at 13 degrees Cancer and Pluto is at 13 degrees Capricorn, they are 180 degrees apart. Anytime we have a 90 or 180 degree relationship, we have what's called tension, or we have, those are the squares, obviously the squares, or the oppositions. These are times when events happen. This is what makes things happen in astrology. It is as true and as old as the basic science of astrology is, and it's very, very accurate. It just is incredibly rich with symbolism and accuracy and empirical data that is acquired over the course of time. So when we know these relationships, we can see what we are predicting. We can. This is, gives us the ability to predict whether it's going to be a good day or bad day. Now, I would argue many astrologers think of the squares as bad and the oppositions as bad. I actually think of them as pinch points where things happen. If, as you've heard me say many times, if the roof were not leaking, we would not fix it. But when difficult things happen to us, when we find ourselves in adverse conditions, as we currently are now in the world, that is a time for growth. Growth comes through adversity. Growth does not come from sitting on the sofa watching TV. Growth comes through action, and action happens through an impetus which is brought about by events in the universe from which we, for which we cannot ignore. Now, currently we're entering into a very interesting time where the aspects are very, very rich. We've got Jupiter at 6 degrees Leo, and we've got Venus coming up at 4 degrees Leo. So Jupiter and Venus are going to be together in very close proximity in Leo. Squaring this over the next coming weeks, we're going to find Mars and Saturn together, because Mars and Saturn will be together at around 16, 17 degrees Scorpio. So when Jupiter moves up to the 16, 17 degree mark, along with Saturn, there's going to be a time when they are squaring each other. So you stop and ask yourself, if you know your planets, which hopefully you do by this point, Jupiter's about expansion, optimism, amplification, abundance. Those are all adjectives we use to describe Jupiter. Saturn, by contrast, at squaring, which is a 90-degree angle, which is a difficult aspect in astrology typically, but also one that forces function. Saturn is about restriction. It's about constraint. It's about responsibility. It's about accountability. So we have Jupiter, this big, expansive, amplified in a tight or squaring or, you know, difficult, tense angle to Saturn. So what does that look like? These are two big planets. They're not in this alignment that often. And here they're going to be coming into this exact square. And I am an astrologer who believes that the more precise the degrees are, the greater the impact. A lot of these planets, you know, have what's called an orb of difference between them. So you may have, you know, Uranus may be at 13 and Jupiter may be at 10 or 9. They're not precise. If Jupiter's at 13 and Uranus is at 13, that's what I call precision, because you've got a degree-to-degree angle. The difference in those two what we call an orb, is the difference between them. And I don't think that should be more than 6 degrees. So if Uranus was at 15 degrees Aries, or let's take today. Today it's at 16 degrees Aries. If Jupiter were at 10 degrees Cancer, that would be pushing it, and you wouldn't feel the influence that much. However, as Jupiter moves to 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, during that time, that's called applying pressure, we begin to feel the impact grow and emerge in a much more profound manner. When they click at 13 degrees, the die has been cast, so to speak. The event typically happens, and then they begin to separate and go their own separate ways again. But when they come into that point of that square, that is a geometrical construct based on the overarching theme of mathematics that sort of holds the world together. Geometry is the divine science, if ever there was such a thing. When we talk about sacred geometry, this is what we're talking about. They come together, events happen. Now, at the same time that we have Jupiter coming into square with Saturn, Venus is joining Jupiter, so that's a harmonious, amplified kind of good quality. Typically, Venus and Jupiter together, you know, in a perfect world would be, wow, everybody's in love. This is amplification. This is good times. People are feeling good. Things are happening. And when Saturn and Mars get together, we see, wow, this is a time for responsible aggression, motivation, but doing the right thing. So we have these two opposing kinds of themes. And it's no small irony that they're coming together at a time when you look out on the world stage and we have a plethora. Some people say plethora. I like plethora better. That's how you put the emphasis. The emphasis on the syllable, as they used to say. We have a plethora, an abundance of radically contentious, heated areas on the world where things need to be resolved. Just for starters, okay, we've got the Iraq situation, which is huge. We've got the Gaza Strip, which is huge. We've got the Ukraine, which is huge. We've got Ferguson, which is huge. We've got the economy in a swirl right now. We've got Europe just on the brink of defaulting in many ways. I heard an economic advisory the other day saying, we're standing on the cusp of a time economically and this is very valuable information, by the way, we're standing on the cusp of a time economically where the world and the economy of the world can go either way. And it's funny because this guy is basing his information on what he has seen through his own empirical data. Now, and financial advisors spend a lot of time crunching numbers, looking at patterns, but they know something. They're very close to what we do as astrologers because they're looking for patterns, they're looking for empirical data, they're trying to find repetitive themes. So their whole idea is very similar. And it was John Jacob Astor, I think it was, who made the comment back in the 1920s and before the first depression, when he said, millionaires don't believe in astrology, but billionaires do. So this is going back, 85 years when it happened. And incidentally, it's no small coincidence that Uranus is where it is at this point in time at 16 degrees Aries. This is right about where it was 84 years ago in 1929 when we had the great collapse. But I don't want to get off in that diversion. The point I'm trying to make is that this economist, and he's a very highly regarded economist, he was manager of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, he made the comment that we are standing on the cusp of we're sort of in a very black and white at the fork in the road where the economy could totally tank and go down the tubes, or it could totally take off. And you have these two disparate ways of expansion happening. Now, you can say expansion, which you're falling down, that's not expansion, but when you're falling down and you hit bottom, the only way out is up, so that could be lifting. And if we go the other way, we've got great innovation and stuff going forward. So we're at that itchy spot, for lack of a better word. It certainly isn't itchy. It's a very painful spot. But with this much turmoil and trial going on, and I meant to also mention not only Ferguson in the United States, but we've got the whole issue of immigration. We've got Congress, which is the most appalling Congress in the history of the United States. They have done absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is another show I heard at NPR the other day. The New York Times correspondent to Washington was talking about how this has been the most ineffective Congress in the history of the United States. Less has been done by these congressmen than any other Congress in the history of the United States. And we, as a populace, as a group of people with a collective vote, need to let them know that this is not acceptable. They don't march to our tune. If we had a job for 3 or 4 years, got a great vacation, came to work and put our tie and jacket on, did nothing, got, health care for life, enormous bonuses, all of the allure and prestige that goes with being a congressman or a senator, we'd be fired in no time. The rules need to apply for them as they apply to us, Minimum wage, maybe not that much. I mean, they're interesting, intelligent people. They do need to get something. But their salary should be tied to the economy. And they should be incentivized the same way anybody is in any job. If they don't produce, goodbye. Sorry, you didn't make it. We'll find a fill in a replacement. So these are important things to remember as we're going through this process of, and this is exactly why the astrology right now is so evident, because we have this potential, which is Jupiter, Venus, there in Leo, very bold, very righteous, very powerful, very in-your-face kind of Leo. Jupiter there amplifying it up, cranking it up. But we have Saturn cranking away at the other side in a square with Mars coming along. Mars is the great motivator to do the right thing. So when we boil these two things down, I always think of it as push me, pull you. It's like push here, pull here, push me, pull you, like the old Dr. Doolittle. The animal that was the push me, pull you. Matter of fact, Deborah Clement and I are going to be doing a show on that on the 20-something of the month. I think it's the, what's today? Today is the, it's the 29th of the month we're doing that. Today's the 15th. So we're going to do that on the last Friday of August, and it will be a really, really interesting show for sure, because we have a good rapport, the two of us, and we will do the whole thing. Maybe she'll play Saturn and I'll play Jupiter. Or she may not like that. She may want to be Jupiter and I'll have to be Saturn. But anyway, you get the point. There is this construct, and this is what an aspect is. An aspect is the interrelationship of planets to each other. That is true for the transiting planets. There's always that interaction. And this, when the transiting planets have a global impact that is felt throughout the world, as we're seeing on the world stage. I just mentioned all the areas where the hotspots in the world. I mean, there's innumerable. You know, this current administration has got their hands full in almost every possible way. I can't imagine a president, you know, other than Franklin Roosevelt or perhaps Abraham Lincoln, dealing with a more complex state of world affairs. And, of course, there's the whole issue of where does the United States fit in this role? This is a major, major question. How much aid do we get? How much do we give? The current administration has been remiss to enter into these constructs because he knows that we're running out of time, we're running out of money, we're running out of resources, and the rest of the country does not want that. What the United States needs, I think personally, astrologically, as my base, is for us to bring everything back home, repair ourselves, put a new coat of paint in our house, fix our roads, get our schools, help our senior citizens, get our people back to work. Natural fact is, baby, I can't pay my taxes. That's the old Marvin Gaye song, Inner City Blues. Great song. I was listening to that this morning on my walk. You know, honey, the natural fact is that I can't pay my taxes. And that's what we're seeing. I think that's what we're seeing in Ferguson, as a matter of fact, is we're seeing the social and the monetary inequality coming to a head there. And this is sort of what I would call a pinch point. Again, coming back to the concept of Jupiter amplifying Saturn responsibility. How do we amplify responsibility? Where does this come to? And this is a very, very difficult question, very difficult construct. To make it worse, we look at Barack Obama, and he is a Leo with an Aquarius rising. So Leo and Aquarius are still fixed signs, so there's going to be squaring action there as well. And he is feeling the heat these days. He's got Hillary Clinton beating him up. He's got a ton of stuff going on. The guy certainly probably had no idea what he was getting into when he signed up for this, and his life is going to be dramatically different as a result. But I do believe he'll leave his imprint. So the idea of aspects in astrology, as I have to explain to you, is this correlation. It's the relationship of one planet to another in a global, or what we refer to as mundane, characteristic in the world. So when I talk about mundane, it doesn't mean that it's boring. It's anything but. Mundane simply means it applies to all people everywhere. Because as an entity, the planet, we're all feeling the impact of these external planets on us. The action is there. We're seeing it everywhere. You know, this is not a smooth time. So when we see this activity, we have to realize this is just sort of where we are. And it's very validating in some way. It may not be pleasant. It's a bitter pill to swallow for sure. But it is validating because this is almost like it's supposed to happen. This is predictable. This is sort of expected at this time. Things are going to get better. There's no question about it because transits do pass. What's most important, though, is how do the transits impact you? Because in your chart, when you were born, you were cast at a certain place and time based on your rising sign, which dictates the layout of all of the houses in your chart. All of the houses in your chart are based on the rising sign because the rising sign is the initiating point of the astrology chart. So at that point, we see the beginning of the astrology happen. That's what sets the first house. Then the second house, third house, fourth house go all the way around. That can vary for any individual. My personal rising sign is in Virgo. So I know that my second house is going to be in Libra and so on, all the way around the wheel. Now, when you have a planet in a sign, that's where you're going to feel the heated action of what that feels like. And we all have this in our lives. Some people have major clusters of planets in their charts. One of my sons has a ton of planets in Capricorn. So he's definitely feeling it as Pluto is transiting through there, going through there, you know, grinding away, grinding away, grinding away. All of that stuff is going to be there forcing him to get his act together. And it's a major wake-up call. And it's growth, and through that growth, through that adversity, I should say, comes enormous growth. When we look at famous people, and we look at people who've accomplished quite a bit in their lives, they're people who have typically led difficult lives. They're those people who have had to go through strife, have had to overcome challenges, and those challenges are considered to be squares. When we see those squares, we see people who have accomplished a great deal because it's a pinch point, and when a pinch point happens, you have to do something. You have to take action, whether you like it or not. It all comes back to that same comment that I say repeatedly. If the roof were not leaking, we would not fix it. But when times are tough, we have to fix it. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. I mean, the cliches are innumerable. They're all over the place, and we know what that's like. So, you know, this is something that has to happen, and we are on the way to learning what it's all about. And, you know, I firmly believe it's not fun. You know, it's not fun. But it's like I always say, it's like having your kitchen remodeled or going to the dentist. It's not a whole lot of fun sitting in that chair with your mouth open. And I have a question. Why is it that when you get to the dentist, they get your mouth all opened up, they got tools in there, they start asking you questions? You ever notice that? It cracks me up every time. And I got my mouth wide open, I got drills and sponges and hoses and everything else in there, and they say, "So, Chris, how's your business going?" What else can you say? Nothing. It's one of those funny things. But anyway, it's like that. And when you're there, it's not a whole lot of fun. No one, I don't know anybody in the world that likes to go to the dentist, even a dentist. I was at a friend's house last week. We went to a party, and one of the guys there was a dentist. And I said, "Do you like going to the dentist?" And he said, "No." So, I mean, I don't think, and he's a dentist. I don't think anybody does. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that it's, we go through these things, but because we have to. It's a healthy thing to do. You want to have your teeth in good shape. So this is something that's very, very important. So adversity builds character, accomplishes things. It's a motivating factor for creating things. And I said, if the roof weren't leaking, we would not fix it. I'm going to take a quick break here since I've been rambling along like I've had too many cups of coffee, but actually I haven't. I just feel good today. I'm pumped up. It's good. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back and talk for a little bit, and then I'll open up the phone lines for people to call in and see what's going on. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio out there somewhere, swing on by awakeningzone.com and check out what we have. And also check out awakeningzone.com or Awakening Zone on Facebook and on Twitter. You'll see us there. It's a wonderful, rich organization of people who are positive thinkers trying to be a sort of a necessary elixir in troubled times. And there's great tools out there that these people all offer. And they're things that I think, they're people pushing ideas in ways, coping mechanisms, I guess is the best way. Astrology, I believe, is one of the strongest coping mechanisms there is because it gives you a data point for where you are. But Awakening Zone as a whole has an enormously rich body of people who bring a lot to the world, and it's there for the taking. And I also encourage you to support them as well. All of us are doing this out of the kindness and the love of our heart and for the love of the job. But we could use a little help now and then. So the tip jar is there. I feel like a busker on the side of the street with my guitar case open. Throw a dollar in if you can. Whatever value you feel I bring to your life, show me, and that'd be great. I'll be back in about, 3 minutes or so, and we will pick up where we left off. So hang in there.
Hello, I'm Tracy Smith, co-founder of A Creative Space and a business coach. A Creative Space is all about helping people create lives they love, doing what they love with people they love in places they love. In the course of my work, I often find the main obstacle people face is money. They often feel they just can't make money doing what they love, and this sent me looking for something that would help. And I found the work of Kendall Summerhawk, and in particular, the sacred money archetype she's created. The sacred money archetypes transformed my relationship with money, and I would love to help you do the same. So I created a special sacred money archetype program exclusively for the Awakening Zone Academy. In this program, you'll discover your sacred money archetype, and this will unlock what makes you tick when it comes to money. So you can stop wasting precious time and energy trying to fit yourself into a box of what you think you should do money-wise, and instead empower yourself with money. The program is in 3 parts and is currently available for a limited time on the Awakening Zone Academy. So register now at awakeningzone.com. I look forward to you joining me.
What is your destiny? Where are you going? What is your real purpose? Do you know? Do you want to know? Of course you do. It's your duty to yourself. We are all here for a reason, and we all have great potential. Discover all of this and more with a professional astrology reading. My name is Chris Lisher, and I can help you. Discover your strengths and work on your weaknesses, and live your life to its fullest capacity. Based on your birthday, birthplace, and birth time, an authentic astrology reading will allow you to live your life to the fullest and reveal your true purpose. Only real astrology can give you real information. It is your destiny, and it is your path. Write me at chris@chrisflischer.com and book a reading today, or call me at 978-393-1036. That's 978-393-1036. www.chrisflischer.com.
What is your destiny? Where are you going? Do you know? Do you want to know? That was me. I crack myself up sometimes because somebody's got to promote. It's shameless self-promotion. There's no question about it, but what else am I going to do? There's nobody out there tooting my horn. My mother's not around anymore, so I can't have her out there waving my flag. So it comes down to self-promotion, and that's what I'm doing. Anyway, trying hard to make a dollar in this day. Lord, make me want to holler the way they do my life. Marvin Gaye again. Anyway, so as I was talking about earlier, we're talking about aspects today. And aspects in astrology is it's difficult to understand for some people to understand the concept. But when it's illustrated and you begin to see how it works, it really is, it's fascinating. And it gives you the ability to sort of peer into the future and get an idea. And it's not going to be precise. I would not go so far as to say you're looking for precision. I'm not going to say, hey, Deborah, go out and buy a lottery ticket on Thursday. You're going to win. You're going to walk away. No, it's not like that. But it is more about, money may be an issue next Thursday for her. I'm just pulling a random name and a random date out of the air, so don't run out and buy lottery tickets. So if you do, send one to me, a winning one, please. And the thing is that you have to have that idea. And also the other thing is that even though you have good aspects in your chart, meaning that you have harmonious, pleasant aspects, and I'm not going to get into what the other ones are, the pleasant ones. I talked about the bad ones. The pleasant ones are the ones that tend to bring more in the way of good energy your way, are considered to be conjunctions, where two planets align directly and over next to each other, and what we call our trines, which are 120 degrees apart. And the reason we use that is because the trines are when we find the elements lining up. So let's say, for example, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, all fire signs, those are in a trine to each other. They're 120 degrees apart. So there's natural synergy there. My two oldest and best friends, one is a Leo and one is a Sagittarius, and I'm an Aries. So it click. We all click. We have a great time. I call it the Fire Sign Theater, which is an old comedy act from the 1970s I grew up. But anyway, it's very accurate. Same is true if you had Pisces, Scorpio, and Cancer together. Another trine. In air, it's Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. In earth, it's Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. Those are trines. They're all 120 degrees apart. If you had planets in those kinds of trines, you would have a harmonious thing. Or if you had Mars and Jupiter together, like we have coming up, we have Jupiter and Venus are going to be conjunct in Leo. Where is that point in your chart? Like today, Jupiter is at 6 degrees Leo, and Venus is at 4 degrees. By tomorrow, they're going to be, by Sunday, they're going to be 6 and 6, or sometime between Saturday and Sunday, they're going to be 6 and 6 degrees respectively. So when they're together, that means there is an amplification, there is a unification of two planets together. That's considered to be a conjunction, or what's called a zero degree alignment. That's considered to be harmonious. We also see harmony come in what's called the sextile. The sextile is when planets are 60 degrees apart. But that would be, for example, when an air sign and a fire sign are together, you've got 60 degrees. That's considered to be harmonious because air feeds fire, fire feeds air. The same is true for water and earth. Earth and water mix. They may make mud, but you know what I'm saying, they mix. They're not incompatible. You take fire and earth, they don't work together. You take water and fire, they don't work together. You take air and dirt, earth, they don't work. So you see my point. Those are 60 degrees apart. Anytime you see planets 60 degrees apart, you'll see that having harmony in the chart, or you'll see an easier aspect. They may not be quite as powerful as the other, but there still is this quality of harmony, and it's a harmonious aspect. And it's something you really have to bear in mind, because those are the harmonious ones. When we talk about that, we refer to it. Now, as I was saying earlier, when a person does an astrology reading for you and they give you this, and you get good news, for example, or you get bad news, it doesn't mean that you're going to be in the spotlight, and it doesn't mean that you're going to have the sky fall down on you. It's not always about that drama. It's not always bold things happening to you. And this is a major misconception with astrology. People always assume that, you know, the other day I was talking to somebody who's a Leo, and I said, hey, wow, you're lucky you got Jupiter in Leo. Well, I certainly don't feel like it's happening to me. Ah, but she's buying a new car. She just got tax relief from the state, and she got tax relief from the town, so she got two checks in the mail, and she's buying a new car. And so I said, hello, you do not see that as good stuff? That is very good stuff. I would like to get a new car and have two checks come my way. You've got Jupiter in Leo. You're a Leo. This is the time to celebrate. This is what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean that you, you know, hit the lottery and you're on the front cover of Time magazine, if there is such a thing anymore, but it means that good things come your way, and it may not always be bold and dramatic. You have to look. And people are often have this problem. I can't tell you the number of people I have read, and I've read thousands over the course of my life, who has say, I say, well, you got a really good thing happening, or good thing happened, and they say, no, I didn't. And I say, well, what did you do over the last 6 months? They say, well, I moved, I got a new job, and my sister had a baby. And I'm like, oh, and you don't think that's good news? Oh, well, yeah, I guess it is good news. Oh, hello. What were they expecting? Were they expecting to be elected president or senator or to become a CEO, get a gigantic promotion? Yes. Those things do happen. You may need a couple of planets to align correctly where all of those things coalesce to form a major impact. But good news is there. We just have to find it. Now, I'm a perfect example of this. I can be sitting here bemoaning my, you know, my financial state and say, gosh, I wish I could do something. But I'm still in my house. I still have a pulse. I'm still walking around, breathing, eating. So you have to be thankful and look for the good things in your life because they are there. We can't expect everything to be dramatic. Astrology tends to cast things in a very dramatic light, and people expect that drama to return, but it's not necessary. And those two examples are perfect. By the same token, if you don't act on good aspects in your chart, if you don't act at a time when that happens, and this is where free will comes involved. About 3 years ago, a woman called up, did a reading for her. She was a Taurus, and at the time, Jupiter was going through Taurus. So this goes back several years. Jupiter was going through Taurus, and she had just lost her job, but Jupiter was in her 10th house, which is the house of career. And she was home watching TV. She was a Taurus. She was at home watching TV. And I said, are you all looking for work? She says, no, I'm just sort of licking my wounds and getting over the fact that I lost. I said, honey, get yourself out there and get your resumes going. This is the time because your chances for success are greater now than ever. You know, FedEx is not going to drive down your driveway and deliver you a job offer while you're sitting on the sofa watching TV. That doesn't how it works. You have to be actively involved in the conversation. If you're actively involved in the conversation and you have good aspects at that time, you can act. That's why having an astrology reading is critical, because you get a weather report of who you are at the time, what's the right thing to do at the time, when to act, when to hold, and when to fold, as I say. It's critical. Very, very important to be able to do that. All right. I've been rambling for quite some time, so I'm going to open up the phone lines and see if I can get somebody to come online, and I'll see where their aspects are in their chart. And this is where you really find it all happening. You'll find it all working in this regard. So let me see. I'm going to take 0630 as the last four digits of the phone number, and we'll see who we have.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, you're on the air. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I'm okay, Chris. This is Beth from Massachusetts. How are you?
Good, Beth. Very good. What's your birthday, Beth?
7-2-55.
7-2-55. And your birth time?
3:30 p.m.
3:30 p.m. And whereabouts? Where
in
were you
Newton,
born?
Massachusetts. Newton. In Newton.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Very good. Let me see what we got for you. So you had a birthday not too long ago, so you're feeling pretty good, huh? Well, I'll tell you in a few minutes. Just let me bring up your chart, and I'll tell you exactly what's going on and why you're wondering what's going on. And we'll be able to see very clearly exactly, because this is really how astrology works. And when you know these certain pieces, it's radically accurate. And I just thrilled by that. So let's see what we got for you. I have you, obviously, what's going on. I can see immediately what's going on with you. Your sun is at 10 degrees Cancer. Your rising sign is at 9 degrees Scorpio. So whenever you read astrology in my newsletter, hopefully, or wherever you read astrology, anywhere in place and time that you decide you want to read astrology, always read what it says for Cancer and always read what it says for Scorpio, because between those two, you're going to see enormous accuracy. You're going to get 80 to 85% accuracy for the reading for what's going on. And again, don't forget, it's theme-based. So you're not going to get specific saying, you know, to fix the rear tire of your car, but you're going to say, you know, you're going to get more, you're going to get information that you have to then apply yourself. You currently have transiting. Now, this is what I was talking about earlier if you were listening. You've got transiting Saturn coming right across your own natal Saturn. You've got Saturn at 14 degrees Scorpio, and you have the transiting Saturn is at 17 degrees Saturn, Scorpio. So you're having what's called a Saturn return. At the same time, you've got Mars coming down. Mars is going to be conjoining Saturn over the next couple of days. As a matter of fact, it'll be, I'll tell you exactly when it's going to be, by this time next Sunday, on the 24th, you're going to have Mars and Scorpio at 17 degrees. They're going to be conjoined in your first house within 3 degrees of your natal Saturn. So this is a time of responsibility. What this feels like, it, you may have heard me say this before, but you are like, you're very, it's a tiresome period. You are tired, you're beat up. You have been going through a long 2.5 year or more time, roughly about 2.5 years of hardship where you're swimming with your shoes on, and you can keep yourself afloat, but it is a lot of work. You're worn out, you're exasperated, you don't know whether it's going to, you don't know when it's going to end, but I can tell you that by the end of December, Saturn is going to be out of Scorpio and working its way into Sagittarius, and you're going to feel a lot of relief just on that basis alone. A Saturn return is something that happens when you're 28, 29, and then again when you're 58, 59. And when it happens, usually the second time, it is a release of some kind. So you do have something to look forward to. It's a relief. It's a release of some kind. You've been free. Some of the shackles are there that were once there. Like perhaps if you had children, or if you got married, or you bought a house, or something like that. When you were 28, 29, you got a major job. A lot of that has been grinding down, and it's a recurring theme. So there is a certain degree of hardship involved there, but it's also a time of liberation, because typically the second Saturn return gives you a sense of focusing on yourself as opposed to focusing on others. This is really a time of reinvention for you. So it's worthwhile to consider that. Now, over this next several months, you have Jupiter right now. You've also had a Jupiter return at a very similar time. Jupiter is at, your natal Jupiter is at 4 degrees Leo, and transiting Jupiter is at 8 degrees Leo. So they're very close. And I think over the coming time, you're going to find yourself, you know, this is a very good time. You know, you have Venus coming right across your natal Jupiter. Great time for education, great time for travel, great time for spirituality. Anything in that area, travel, education, spirituality are really important right now. It's really a great time to emphasize whatever it is that makes you expansion. So I would literally get back into school. You probably have always been a fairly active traveler, a fairly active student, very good in all educational kinds of environments. You've also got the sun coming through on your top of your natal Pluto, which is a 25 degrees Saturn. So your job is one of duty to the world in some way. It's almost got a karmic aspect to it. In other words, as if you were planted on this earth to do this job. You really didn't have much choice in the matter, and you sort of fell into it. And it is something that suits you well, and it's a transformative kind of job. Now, as Jupiter and Venus move through Leo, they're going to be coming into your 10th house, conjuncting your natal Pluto, which is going to be a time of real awakening. It's going to be a time when you're able to sort of leverage your natural inbred skills in a way that you have never done before. And this is going to be, I think, rather profound for you. It's going to be a time of, so it's a good time in that regard, to, if you are in school, to finish up the schooling, get the resume up to date, get your skills set up to date, get the resumes out there, and start networking if you're in that situation. It's a wonderful time to see that come, your career really come to fruition. It's been a lot of hard work, but I think that the payoff is right around the corner. So this is not the time to quit. This is the time to, you're on the marathon, you're down to the last 2 miles of the marathon, you can see the finish line off in the distance, you're coming down the hill, so stick with it, and I think you're going to see things come to fruition within the next 4 to 6 months. You're going to be in much better shape. So, you know, it's tedious, it's onerous now, but, you know, it's soon going to change. So bear that in mind and keep plugging away.
Thank you so much. That's actually really comforting. Thank you.
Good. Well, I think you're going to be, and I'd be surprised if it weren't the case. So I expect you to call back in a couple of months and say, yes, Chris, you were right on the money.
I sure will. Thank you, Chris,
okay.
So much.
All right. You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, it's funny. Well, maybe she won't call back, but hopefully we'll see this happen. This, and I love hearing back from people who I've done that for, because it does give me an opportunity to see the accuracy of the astrology, and it really does work. Okay, let me try. This is 2127. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. Hi.
What's your name?
Jamel.
Jamel. Okay, very good. And what's your birthday, Jamel?
12/23/1981.
81. Do you know what time you were born?
1:57 p.m.
1:57 p.m. And whereabouts?
In Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, New York. Okay, I think I know who you are, Jamel. I see you on Facebook. How are you?
Definitely. Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Great. Glad to hear from you. It's always nice to hear a familiar voice and put a voice with a face and all that, however the expression goes. But it's always good. So let me see what we got for you, and I'm going to bring up your chart right away and see what we got. And, as you well know, if I'm listening to the show, that, you know, the astrology, and you being a Capricorn, you've had a rough couple years. There's no question about it. You know, this is a time.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
This is a time of incredible reinvention. There's no question about it. I mean, there's this. You know, almost all Capricorns I know have gone through some sort of hardship or just a realignment. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing about it is that as difficult as it may seem at the time, I can assure you that it's going to get better, because what the Pluto does is it forces you to sort of go through this process a couple of times. Now, you know, you've heard me talk about the analogy of getting your kitchen remodeled. Well, that's very much what this is like for you. It's really been a long, hard grind, but I can tell you that it's going to get better. Now, I have your sun at 1 degree Capricorn, so you're sitting there, and your rising sign is 16 degrees Taurus. So anytime you read astrology, as you've probably heard me say, you always want to read the astrology for Capricorn, and you always want to read the astrology for Taurus, because between those two, you're going to get, you know, 80 to 85% accuracy. Now, Pluto, in your case, is currently going through your ninth house. Ninth house is the house of religion, education, travel, all of those things, where you've had to probably do a little bit more with regard to communication, research, than you probably would have wanted to do. It's been a very difficult time where perhaps you're not making as much progress as you would have liked to have made, and the fact that that is has been there. But the good news on this part, to be honest with you, is the fact that Pluto is at 11 degrees Capricorn. It is in what's called a trine to your natal rising sign, which is 16 degrees Taurus. They're both in Earth signs. So as the year progresses, and I'm going to talk about, let me see what that looks like over the course of months, and don't forget, Pluto moves slowly, but I would say that by February of 2015, going forward, you're going to find yourself in a much better space, especially if you are in that field right now. If you're in education, or you're in that sort of, you know, educational role, or travel mode, or whatever that may be, you're going to find yourself in a much better space, because you're going to find that the harmony of that 120-degree angle is really going to help you. You've also got good aspects coming over the next several months in your domestic scene. Your house, your family, that whole residential part of your life is very real. You're a very service-oriented person, so you are one who's put on this earth to serve people. And that doesn't mean you're a waiter, but it means that you are someone who uses their energy and their talents to help others in ways. So doctors are servants, you know, dentists are servants, you know, car mechanics are servants, and waitresses are servants as well. But it's not servant so much as it is service. And I want to make that clear, because when you are serving others, you're really reaping the greatest reward you possibly can through work. So you're very much in that regard. You have a strong artistic aesthetic. You are very much of a interested in that regard. But, you know, if you are in that mind frame, you know how difficult it is to be in that situation. There is an eclipse coming up. The next eclipse is going to be coming up. I just want to check my charts here. The one that happened in October 23rd is going to be at 0 degrees Scorpio, which is going to be conjunct your natal Jupiter in your sixth house. So you want to be careful of what kind of work you're taking on. You want to be sure you're taking on work that is meaningful. It may mean that you have a job where you're, you know, sort of pushing yourself in some way to be reborn in that regard. You're going through a period of time, though, right now, for sure, where there's a lot of reinvention going on. There's going to be a period of time where you're going to see a great deal of activity, things coming to an end. And I want you to remember that when things come to an end, it does not mean the sky is falling. This is what I was talking about earlier. It's not always about drama. It can be that, you know, you're just getting a new apartment, or you're moving to a new place, or something new is happening. When I talk about transition, which is represented by the 12th house, you've got Uranus in the 12th house. It brings about unexpected change. Now, unexpected change can be a wide variety of things, and I want you to sort of, you know, push that to the limit and see what that looks like, because there's a lot of possibilities in that kind of phrase. Now, I always use the idea of transition with regard to pregnancy, because I think it's probably the best, most optimistic example I can think of. When the end of a pregnancy, which is a transition, the end of a pregnancy is the birth of a child. So therefore, that is a perfect example of a transition that seems a little bit, you know, oh my God, it's transition, I'm scared, I'm running for the hills. But actually what it means is a bold new beginning. So you're in that place where your opportunities may very well be, especially with regards to career and what you do on a daily basis. I could actually see you sort of landing something that could be quite beneficial with regard to your career coming up over the, and this may very well reflect back onto your domestic scene, but you've got a lot of activity, a lot of potential in your creative zone as well. There's a lot of stuff happening there, but you're sort of motivated to really get that straight. Now, when it comes to relationships, you're going to be seeing Saturn coming into your relationship zone over the next, Saturn is going to be out of Scorpio by the end of December. And at that point, it's going to be right conjunct your natal Uranus and your natal Moon, which are both at 2 and 3 degrees respectively, in the sign of Sagittarius. So when Saturn comes to that spot, I think you're going to find yourself, you know, either committing to somebody or being very serious or kicking things up a notch. And it may very well be that something comes to you quite unexpectedly. So this is the sort of thing. If you're not involved in a relationship, you may very well find yourself in one. If you are involved in a relationship, it may go to the next level, which might mean moving in together, getting married, becoming committed, having a children, all those big milestone steps. So now, do you have any other questions specifically to where you are and what you're going through I could look at?
I think you covered a lot. I mean, the relationship thing sounds pretty spot on, because that's I could see stepping up, that what you said, stepping up more, because that's what my mind has been sort of on love. The idea of love has sort of been like a luxury, you know, like, oh, being in love, being in a relationship, that's a luxury. We got bills, we got this, we got that. So I've actually put that idea, that belief down, and said, no, it's not something whimsy or frilly. It's actually something really concrete and something I need to really pay attention to. So that idea has been growing. But recently, you know, with the changing that you were saying and all that kind of stuff, is true. This summer, I was just telling my therapist that it's been I feel like I've had the same situations happen to me over the past couple of years, but this summer I actually sat down and go, okay, I really used the affirmation, I'm willing to change. I mean, and meant it, mm-hmm. because I've been, I wouldn't say soul searching, but I've been sort of sitting down with pain, physical pain, and not blaming myself, but actually getting quiet. And right now I'm in pain. That's why my breathing is a little fast. My talking is fast. My back happened, and that's worried me. What happened is I am a caregiver. My mother's issues has cleared up a little bit, and I had nothing but time on my hands. And the moment I committed myself to learning, going back to school, that's why I said a lot of your stuff was spot on, my back started hurting. I never had back problems in my life. And then feet was hurting and issues was hurting. And so now I'm saying something is happening. And I was calling today to say something has been pretty pretty, I wouldn't say tough, but just been pretty strange. Even though I've been having terrible pain, I was wondering, would I be transitioning out of this with an understanding and really loving myself to go, okay, you know what, something deeper is happening. And because it was so funny, and I don't want to hog up everything, what's so funny is when I'm balanced, food-wise, anxiety-wise, mental-wise, I have no pain. But but when I'm unconscious, I'm going, then everything pops up that I never had in my life, like I'm a 60-year-old person. So I was wondering if will I get more conscious and then understand more and actually the pain goes and I get, like you said, go into those transitions of relationship and all those beautiful things you listed.
Well, I think I think what you've been feeling is you've been feeling Saturn. Saturn was directly opposing your ascendant. So that is similar to having Saturn on your ascendant, but it's a different kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about, I use the analogy of walking around with a backpack on or trying to swim with shoes on. And that's kind of what it's like. You've been walking around with this backpack on, full of bricks, and you know, it's heavy. You know, you can get around, but it does hurt. It is, and I'm speaking metaphorically. You can get around, you can get things done, but the backpack is still heavy. So it's like you got to climb the stairs. It's harder to climb the stairs with four or five bricks in your backpack. But what I'm saying is that that's the analogy I want you to think of. So that has been very current over the last 5 to 6 months. And you've got Pluto in your ninth house. So, you know, work and your concept of education is one that is forcing you to really, you know, sort of step into your own. And sometimes that is a difficult process. But it's through that adversity, that pain, that hardship that you're feeling, that you find real growth. And that's where I think you really have to focus on, is that the growth is there. The growth is definitely there. But nothing worth having comes easily. And that's really what it comes down to. You have to have the hardship in some ways. And as a Capricorn, you know about hardship because you were born in hardship, and it has been, you know, hardship has been your mantra for quite some time now because it's just pervasive. It's just sitting on your back, and you can't get away from it. But I do think you'll find yourself in better shape fairly soon.
Okay, because I was going to say that's true. That's why I even said love, relationship. I never had a relationship, love, good feeling. No, that's not, you know, that's not food. That's not. So I put it down because of the way I was born and raised. Mm-hmm. And then recently, just sort of dealing with everything, and I guess like that backpack, going, you know, I'm looking at love differently. I'm not looking at it as luxury as that's more necessity, you know, and I'm transitioning that belief. And in that analogy of going through life, my mind went to a cartoon of a person climbing up infinite amount of stairs and like, oh, my back is hurting, but don't realize they have all that stuff on them. And then, you know, when you get conscious, go, oh, well, why am I carrying this? Let it go. And then you sort of feel like a human being again. So
I think
you're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's the baggage we
I've been going around killing myself physically.
That's good. You know, see, I think it's, you know, it is about perspective. You know, and I think astrology lends you the ability to be to embrace a different perspective, and the different perspective is really all it takes. Because, you know, if you ever look through a prism is, you know, that the piece of glass, and you have the light coming through, and you see certain colors. You turn that prism 1 degree, just 1 degree, or even half an inch, or even a quarter inch, or eighth of an inch, and those colors change. And that's what I'm talking about, perspective. And that's a metaphor for perspective. So when you just shift your view a little bit, you can see things through another set of eyes. And in that is a great sense of relief and freedom. And it's very liberating when you can do that. And I think you're at a point in time where you're beginning to see that. And, you know, it's really interesting in that regard. So, you know, stay on what you're doing, whatever you're doing. Is working, and if you are in school, you know, it is going to be a task for you, but, you know, hey, it's going to be worth it in the long run. So definitely stay with it.
Okay. Well,
right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's great to talk to you.
Re-listening, it's good to talk to you too, because I love that little short conversation we had. You were so, you know, warm and just everything. You was wonderful. And we didn't even go into this. I just sat here and I was just talking about astrology as how much I loved it. And we didn't even go into none of this. So the fact that you got that from just the positioning of the planets and everything in this moment right now was wild. You know,
it's pretty remarkable.
Astrology. Yes,
works.
Yes, it's spot on. All right,
I've never met you, so I don't know what your life is like. I mean, I've seen you, but I don't.
Know
you do,
absolutely not.
So
right, absolutely.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, thanks.
All right.
All right, take care, Jamila.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
I think I got time for one more. I'm going to try it, and I'm going to push my luck here because I do have a little time left. So I'm just going to try one more. This is 0268. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? You're on the air. No? Okay. Well, I guess you're not in the air. I thought you were. I have you lit up. You may have your phone on hold or you're not hearing it. So anyway, try again next week, and we'll see what we can do. Next week, I've got an interesting show. I've got Paramahansa Jagadesh coming on. He is a spiritual leader, and he's going to be talking about something called the Prayer Project. And the Prayer Project is a remarkable project that if everybody in the world spent 3 minutes a day doing this, or three times a day, you don't even have to be 3 minutes, it's three times a day doing a simple prayer. And a prayer, I know it sounds religious, it's not so much that. Prayer can be anything from a positive affirmation to a visualization. Prayer, the definition of a prayer is wide, and it's across all stratus of religion. So it is not specific to any one religion. It's not like saying, Our Father who art in heaven, although you can say that. It's a question of putting yourself in a spot where prayer enters into your life in a way that is viable. And it's all about, really, if you asked me what I thought prayer was, I would just say it's the power of positive thinking and putting your intention in a certain place. So he's going to talk about that next week. If you subscribe to my newsletter, you can get to it from Facebook, Chris Fleischer at Facebook, or Turning of the Wheel on Facebook. Subscribe to my newsletter. You will get all this information. You'll know what shows are coming up. You'll know how to call in, when to get a hold of it, how to get a hold of me if you want to. All those things will be there for you. I encourage you to get a personal astrology reading because the accuracy, even though I talk about astrology and overarching themes here, the accuracy is dictated by your individual chart, your personal experience, and what I can derive from that. So I can't really do that on the air in a short period of time. Typically, I have astrology readings that last I have a 20-minute one, and I have an hour one. The hour one, it gets into great detail. Typically, what I do is I talk when I see the chart. I bring up the chart. I don't look at it ahead of time. Bring up the chart. I look at it, and immediately it speaks to me. I can see the activity immediately happening there. And I talk, and people are at the other end of the phone. They're wowed. I record the whole conversation. Send them the MP3, and then they get to listen to it over and over again. And they get into much greater detail. Your assets, your liabilities, what works for you, what doesn't work, the times that you're going through now, the times that are coming, when to hold and when to fold, as I say, when to act, when not to act, when to put your resume out there, when to fall in love, when to have a baby. All those things are there, and they are there. People typically call me, where's the love, where's the money? And I can tell you it's there, and it will come. So it's been great talking to you all today. Next week, I have Paramahansa Jagadish. He's a great spiritual leader. He'll be on talking about the power of prayer and the Prayer Project. So follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. I'm on YouTube. Sign up for my newsletter. Book a reading. Help me keep the lights on in my house. And I will talk to you all next week. Gotta love it.
You've been listening to Turning of the Wheel with your host, Chris Fleischer. To schedule a reading with me or to order artwork, you may visit my website at www.chrisfleischer.com. That's www.chrisfleischer.com. Or email me, and you can call me at 978-393-1036. That's 978-393-1036. Thank you. And as always, be open to possibilities.